Organize Me Radio, episode 39, Moms Talk Autism. I'm Naima Ford Goldson. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited for the interview you're about to listen to. It's been a long time coming, and I sat down and talked with another mother who has a son with autism, just like me. And the ironic thing is when we started the recording, my son started to have issues, and you will hear some background noise. So fair warning, you will hear noise in the background because my husband was dealing with the issues that my son had. And I just felt like the message was too important. The interview was too good to try to re-record it and get the same result. But this is our lives. This is how life is with autism. So take a listen and enjoy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Organize Me Radio. I'm Naima Ford Goldson. And today's guest is a family friend, and she is a fellow autism mom. Please welcome Nicole Reese.
Hello.
Nicole, I'm so excited to talk with you. This has been a long time coming. We've had to reschedule and reschedule, and because we're moms and all the things that we do. But I want everyone to learn a little bit more about you. You serve in the military. Can you tell everyone about your military background?
So I have been in the military for 19 years, which means I have one left. Thank you, Jesus. I am a medical lab scientist, and right now I'm stationed at Fort Gordon in Georgia, and I am one of the on the leadership team that runs the Kendrick Memorial Blood Center. So we basically collect blood and ship it out to the contingencies overseas. We supply the hospitals on the eastern region, so all the military medicines. So that's our mission. We go out on the weekends, we go out during the week, and we collect blood from the trainees. We do blood donations in-house, and we ship it out.
So you and I, okay, so on top of like career and being busy, we both have kids that are on the spectrum. Tell us about your son and how that's been going for you.
Oh boy, so Rowan Xavier is going to be 18 next
week. Wow.
Not believe it. You've known him since he was like yay big
little. Yes.
And he is my gentle giant. He is 6'4".
Wow.
Like a little celery stalk, I call it. But he loves art, he loves music. He is a walking jukebox. He knows songs that people our age probably don't even know. You can literally play like the first 2 seconds of a song and he automatically can tell you who sings it. And he's just, the thing I love about him and the thing that I was concerned about when he was diagnosed is that I was thinking like, you know, they say some autistic children are emotionless or, you know, almost like vegetables. And he's so affectionate and so sweet. He's an empath. He's so sympathetic to everyone and so concerned about everyone and wanting everyone to be happy all the time. So that's my baby. That's not a baby anymore.
Oh, so I can relate because Gavin is 8. He just turned 8. And he too is so, so, so affectionate. He loves the ladies. I was talking to one of his ABA therapists today, one of the RBTs. And she mentioned that he started working with a new therapist today. And the therapist was like, he keeps giving me hugs. And she was like, well, you know, Gavin's a ladies man, which he is. He's been like that since he was a baby, you know? So anyway, they just started having him blow them all kisses and everything, you know, so they could actually get work done. But it is funny how, you know, well, of course, autism is different for everyone, right? It's every single kid on the spectrum is different, which is why it's a spectrum, right? And we know, you and I both know that. But I feel like a lot of people do think that kids on the spectrum are just kind of off in their own world, which that's not the case. That hasn't been the case for me. That's clearly not the case for you.
Yeah, I definitely think that they have actually a heightened sense of awareness about things that are going on. And that's how it manifests with like all the sensory issues and things that come with that being on the spectrum. But I definitely think that they're more in tune and situationally aware of the things that we normally would just brush off to the side or not even notice or pay attention to. Because my son definitely can tell, and my son, my fur baby's in the background now. but he can my son can definitely tell when something is off with anyone. And then like, are you okay? Hi. His check-in is high. So he's a man of few words, but he's gonna check in. So yeah.
So with Gavin, and I know you've experienced this with Rowan, Rowan talks now, but Rowan was nonverbal for a time, and Gavin is nonverbal as well. How did you navigate with Rowan being nonverbal, and when did Rowan start to actually communicate with his words?
So Rowan actually started talking probably when he was about 10 or 11, and he still has a significant speech delay. His communication is needs-based, but he will, make jokes, and he will come up and say, hey, tag, you're in, and then take off running, But navigating that was, I don't know how I did it, it was a give and take, because Rowan, he couldn't talk, but he could spell. So, he would speak letters. So if he wanted something, if environmental print, that's what got us through, right? So he would be spelling the letters of things, and I'd be sitting here like, okay, oh God, but that's how he was able to, that's how we were able to work through things. And then the other thing that I've always loved about my kid is he's so expressive, just non-verbally. And I think we take for granted non-verbal communication, right? So I was able to kind of eventually, as we got to know each other, which sounds crazy when you're talking about your kid, but the same way we change and we transition as we're getting older, our kids do too. And I was able to kind of figure him out. So I don't know how I did it, by the grace of God, I'm telling you, because that was a challenge. That was definitely a challenge, but he's come a long way. He still definitely has a significant speech delay. He can't really answer why questions, open-ended questions, or why'd you do that? Or, well, how are you feeling? You have to give him options, and then he can select them.
You mentioning his nonverbal cues, I think that's important, because I remember taking some kind of speech class. I think it was nonverbal communication or something like that. And I learned that only 7% of our communication is words, right? So why do people put so much emphasis on words and speaking and feeling like, these kids have to, talk to communicate when there are other ways?
And it's easy, because it's easier. It's easier. And I think that that's one of the things I've learned. I used to be very, I'm embarrassed almost to say this, apologetic, almost constantly. Oh, I'm sorry, he has autism. I'm sorry, he's making noise in the background, but I'm sorry, my son has autism. Anytime he did anything, I felt like I needed to apologize and justify why he was doing it. It was more of a defense and a protective mechanism. I realized they need to accommodate you. We're not going to accommodate them. I definitely want him to go out into the world and be functional, but at the same time, it's like, it doesn't need to be easy. It doesn't have to come easy to people who don't know any better, unfortunately, and navigating their ignorance. It's like, it's a give and take, basically.
It's funny to me how you say you were a little apologetic, because I'm like the opposite. So it's like, if I'm out with Gavin and Gavin's doing his thing, Gavin's being Gavin, I let him be. Yeah. And I'm always like, say something.
It took me a while though. It was because of some stuff I think I was dealing with not really fully understanding autism, not fully understanding how that worked out. But definitely there was a transition or a shift. And then I was like,
yeah, yeah.
What is uh-huh. And I saw there's a t-shirt that says, he has autism, what's your excuse? And that's how I moved after that. Like, he has a reason. What's your reason for being, So yeah.
1 in 59 kids, 1 in 47 boys. Again, I'm probably wrong in that statistic, but it's somewhere in there. So a lot of kids are being diagnosed with autism now, which means we have a whole lot more kids that we need to accommodate. And I feel like people who are in families with other people that have autism are definitely more, empathetic to what they might go through, and show more grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, but have you ever had any issues like in public where, you know, Rowan is just being Rowan and people are looking at him
Everywhere.
like crazy, you know? Yeah.
Everywhere, all the time. Rowan will be out. And the thing about autism, right, is that you can look at a child that has Down syndrome. You can tell
Right.
Down syndrome. Usually if a child is blind, they'll have some type of assisted something and you can possibly tell that they're blind. When you see kids with autism, I think us moms are, I don't want to, you know, exclude the dads, but the parents or the family members or the teachers, we know, right? We know
Right.
we know how to recognize, right?
Right.
Rowan will be walking in the mall and he'll just see girls. He's eight, almost 18. Hi, girl. And then they're like, well, ew, you know, like, why is he talking to us? Or, you know, when he were, I remember this dialogue we had actually about Gavin going out and Eric. It was something that you and Eric have been talking about. I remember you posted it about like him going out for to restaurants and stuff and like not necessarily wanting to take him or not necessarily wanting to, because, you know, people will look and now you feel like competing on other people's good time and whatever. And I'm like, only way he's gonna learn how to navigate that is if you
Right.
put him in that environment. So
Right.
I've gotten to the point where, like you now, I'm unapologetic. I don't care.
Yeah.
And it's terrible to say, but I do sometimes still tell people that he has autism, but it's solely so that they can kind of get that blow when they've been a jerk, you know, or they can,
Yeah.
it's like, oh, you know, my son has autism. He doesn't know. He doesn't mean any harm. And then it's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, why are you sorry? I'm not sorry that my son has autism.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I apologize to me, you know, if you're sorry, you can apologize to him, but not about him being autistic. Apologize about your behavior.
And I also feel like, you know, being a parent of a kid on the spectrum, it just you kind of think about autism differently because I feel like you know, I don't know. I think I felt differently about it in the past. And I've worked with kids with autism, but then it's like now one of my kids has it. And I'm like, are you sure this is autism? Because this is autism, you know? So I feel like, you know, it's of course it shows up in so many different forms and everything. And but I definitely feel like as a parent, you feel a little bit differently about it. So you co-authored a book recently. Congratulations on on that.
Thank
Can
you.
you tell us about about your book because you mentioned Rowan in it?
Yes, definitely. So, the book I have here, it's called In My Father's House. Actually, one of my mentors reached out to me, and she is a woman of the Janet, we'll call, of all trades. She has a ministry, she has an LLC, a life coaching and development program. She does a lot of stuff, and she reached out to me because I've always wanted to get published. I've always wanted to write a book, and this was a way for me to get my feet wet. So basically, what this book is a project, a compilation of four authors, and in it, we're all in ministry, and we're all talking about the various struggles that we've had throughout life, but more importantly, you know, how God's promises have manifested through those challenges. So, of course, one of my biggest challenges turned triumphs has been, you know, finding out my son had autism and it being devastating, and me, you know, in the early 2000s, not knowing anything about it, and just how I've navigated through that, and not just me, but Rowan too, how we've navigated that, especially in the church. So how that's come to pass and how he's definitely triumphed over that.
So yeah, congratulations again on that. It's so cool to be able to say that you wrote about your son in a book, right? And making more people aware of autism. But like you said, early 2000s, like that was tough. You see, for me, there's a lot of like resources out there now, you know? So it's a little bit easier for me to navigate. Of course, it's devastating too when you first get that diagnosis. It's like, oh my God. What does this mean? What does this mean for my kid? What does this mean for me? Like, how are we going to get through this? What does this mean for the rest of his life? What does this mean for the rest of my life and everything?
Because you can't point to one other child. Well, this person's child was like this, or this person's kid was like this, because all the kids are different. So it's like really a wild card with for lack of a better term, what you're getting, or what's how things are going to turn out. So.
Now, I can't help but notice your earrings. I love them so much. They're like puzzle pieces. Where in the world did you get those from?
Excuse me. Listen, I got these earrings. It had to be like 14 years ago.
Oh, okay. So they don't make them anymore, probably.
I'm trying to find out the information. I just remember I got them through Etsy. And I'm sure someone makes some, but I will not get rid of these. I love jewelry, and these are ones that I'll never, I pull them out every now and then, especially in April, and I can't get rid of them. But
I love it. Okay, so again, you're talking about Rowan is about to turn 18 years old and everything. How have you been able to manage your time with a special needs child?
So it's been a transition, and I feel like I'm reaping the benefit of having a teenager in some respects now. When Rome was Gavin's age, there was no leaving him unsupervised. If I left him unsupervised, I was going to pay for it. So a lot of my free time, a lot of that white space on my calendar was consumed with me trying to keep him occupied in positive and productive ways so that he wasn't getting into things and tearing up things out of curiosity and, or just not having that structure and it throwing him off completely. But now he's a teenager girl. So I'm telling you, he does not want to be bothered with me. So I come home from work. He is holed up in his room, like very much like a teenager. As long as he has food and Wi-Fi and his iPad, he is good. He loves art. So he's in there with, as long as he has crayons and paper, he's in there. If I come in his room and talk to him, you could tell he's trying to rush me through the conversation, like, get out of here. So I'll even ask him, like, you want me to leave you alone? He's like, yes, leave me alone. I'm like, okay, teenager, you know. So it's different now. It's like in the last year or so, it's been very different. I actually get in my feelings because I'm like,
yeah,
he's not, you know, he doesn't want to be bothered now. And now I want to be bothered. When I needed some time, you know, that's when he was all up under me. So it's very different now. But what I will say is for kids like Gavin's age, you have to be very intentional about carving out time, especially with kids that have siblings, right? And then carving out time for yourself as well. Like that was definitely something that I had to be exceptionally intentional about.
Yeah. Now let me tell you, I'm still trying to figure it out. It's so hard. I know there are parents who don't have special needs kids and they're like, we're all busy. I don't think they understand like having a special needs child puts, you know, you're busy, you think you're busy as a parent, throw special needs onto that, because you'll have no time for yourself at all. And then I think when you have, you know, kids that don't have special needs, then you have stuff to look forward to, like, oh, well, when they're this age, this, when they're this age, then this. With me, and like we said, we were explaining earlier, autism is such a spectrum, so you don't know what you're going to get. So I don't know if Gavin's going to be chill like Rowan when he's a teenager, you know what I'm saying?
When I wake up in the morning, I don't know what I'm getting, because there could be something that could have triggered him, or, you know, he's overstimulated, or he's very hypersensitive sensory-wise, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't figure out why on Saturdays he was always grouchy. Like every other Saturday, he would just be in a mood and his behavior would be wonky. And it was because my neighbor mows the lawn.
Ah.
The noise from the lawnmower. Now he can sit here and listen to John Legend in his earbuds, you know, and be blasting it and be fine. But that noise out, that external noise was just driving him crazy. And it's kind of like what happened with me with the dog. It's like, I can't even focus right now because this dog is making noise. I can't talk to you, right? Imagine for a kid that has hyper, you know, sensory issues. Then that's
right.
And so I had to kind of understand like, okay, that makes sense. I get it. So I'm like, it's a lawnmower. What's the problem? So yeah, it just, you never know. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gavin is big on the sensory issues too, like huge sensory issues, any loud sound, any light that's too bright, you know, anything like that. He's like covering his ears, he's covering his face and, you know, all that. So you never know what you're gonna get. But like you said, you have to figure out how to carve out the time for yourself. And what I did do to help me with, you know, getting more time to, you know, do my podcast, to do my business, to, you know, meet with friends, I recently got an au pair, and wow, so far it's been so helpful because, you know, I have a big family, so I have a big support system, but they're not in Atlanta. Right. So I think having that support system is really important too. How has your support system helped with Rowan?
Listen, I put it in the book. My mother is a saint. Okay. So shout out to my mother, Rosalind. She is a saint. She has helped, especially being in the military and being a single mom. She has absolutely held me down. She, in fact, Rowan is with my mother right now for the summer. She's taking him to swim lessons. She was in the military. So we're both serving in the military and we're both juggling this baby basically throughout my career. So I've been fortunate, spring breaks and things where I, you know, the mission dictated that I needed to be somewhere. She's always stepped up and been there. So I've been fortunate in that respect.
Now, what about protecting your energy and managing self-care? Like raising Rowan, was it easy to find moments to yourself? What did you do?
That word easy, it's like, huh?
Yeah, nothing easy about it, right?
No, it was rough. I remember a day when Rowan was about 4, where he was just, I don't have any other way. He was wilding. And I had left church. I was in the dance ministry and we were driving back. And I mean, he literally had somehow wiggled out of his booster seat and like threw it at me while I'm driving down the
motorway. Oh no.
And then like climbed up while I'm driving, you know, and I literally like had a nervous breakdown, I swear. And I called my mother like hysterical, like, I can't do this anymore. I don't know I'm gonna do this. And I don't feel like I'm a good mom. You know, my mother got on the road and drove from South Carolina to Maryland just to help me out and give me some respite. But there have been really good days, really great, awesome, amazing days. And I think those have outweighed the difficult ones. But I'm telling you, I stand on this. It is the grace of God that has got me through those difficult days. And then the hope that, you know, this is a day in his life. And what's encouraging to me is I know people I've been fortunate enough to meet people who have kids older than Rowan. And I see how the therapy, I see how the consistency, I see how one of the things I always say is I will not let autism be a crutch for him. So, you know, I'll make concessions. We will make accommodations, but you're never going to use that as an excuse why you can't do something. You're always going to at least try to attempt it. So seeing those older kids that are, even the kids in his class that are a couple years older than them, with beards and mustaches.
Oh my God.
Like, and just seeing them navigating through life and gaining senses of independence. That's what's been encouraging for me. That's what gives me hope. Yeah.
So let's talk about Rowan and what it's like for him is he tidy? Gavin is very tidy. Is Rowan tidy?
Rowan is very Rowan-ish.
I love that.
So one of the things that's been very important to me, just as a mom of a boy, is everything in my house has to have a place. It belongs in a room. It goes in that specific room and that's where it belongs. And so towards the end of the day, I try and make sure that at a minimum, we put the things back in the rooms where they belong, right? In Rowan's room, which is his own territory, I have a wicked case of OCD, but I've kind of bowed gracefully out and let him kind of run it. And surprisingly, he does keep it neat. He just does things that kind of drive me nuts. Like he likes Ziploc bags. He loves to draw pictures and then he'll take little bits of paper and draw on them and draw little people. And he puts them in a Ziploc bag. So he has a Ziploc bag that a regular person would think is full of trash, but it's really his little people, you know.
Oh.
And everything in his room, he's very particular. He has a rack where he hangs his mask and everything has its place. And if you move it, he will notice. He is very, very observant. So that he's very tidy now. Now he's very tidy, except in the kitchen. That is, we're working on that.
Does he actually cook in the kitchen?
He can make himself sandwiches, not cooking with heat or anything. I don't trust him yet. He can microwave. I'll let him do that. What Rowan right now is that Rowan doesn't understand the concept of if you use a glass, and I think I did this. I remember specifically my mother fussing at me about this as a teenager. He'll get a glass, he'll pour himself a drink. He's pretty independent in that respect. And then, you know, 2 hours later, he's thirsty again. So what does he do? In the cabinet, another glass. So while I'm at work, I come home and there's like eight glasses from every, I can tell everything. Then, you know, there's the bowl of cereal that still has the milk in it. And so we're trying to work with like rinsing dishes, at least. He's tried to help me load the dishwasher. So we're getting there. We're getting there. But he will not use the same. If he drank milk in one glass, then he cannot drink the grape juice out of the milk glass. Even if it's, you wash it, it's, you can't.
Yeah, there are neurotypical adults that do stuff like that. So definitely. What do you think has been your biggest challenge when it comes to raising a child on the spectrum?
My biggest challenge has been myself. My biggest challenge has been my insistence. Like I said earlier, I went from a stage of being very apologetic and feeling like almost like it was an my son was an inconvenience, but that his behavior and the way the autism manifested itself was inconveniencing everyone around them. And I'm a very considerate person, like just in general, I don't want to inconvenience anyone. I don't want to be too loud. I don't want to be, you know, and so I would feel like I was disrupting people's peace somehow by allowing him to just be him. And then I just got this like, you know, light bulb moment, like, no, he is fine. Like he will be.
Yeah.
So it was finding, my challenge has been finding a balance between my son has autism and there are going to be certain things that are challenging to him and certain things he has difficulty doing versus the stubborn mama and me that we can do all things through Christ and you're going to figure this out. And so finding that balance of, okay, push him, but understand, push him, but don't go too far, push him, but still keep at the forefront of your mind that you do have a special needs kid who is awesome and he's a rock star, but there are going to be things that will be a challenge to him. He's just going to have to find unique ways to do those things. So that's been my challenge because I am stubborn. No, you're going to figure this out. You can do this. So even something as simple as him, he spilled something on his carpet and I'm like, you know, mama, you're going to clean that up. Just like I had when I was little. But you got a vacuum in and vacuums are loud. So how are we going to figure this out? Do I need to get you some headphones? So Rowan will sit there like this.
Oh, wow.
You're still going to do it because you made the mess, you know. So being sensitive to those sensory things and those, for lack of a better term, issues that he has. But still, like, you're going to, in real life, this is how we function. So this is what we're going to
have. Yeah. So how are you feeling about him turning 18? What's going to happen, like, when he's done with school and everything? How is he going to go out into the world? Do you ever see him being in college or anything like that?
So I'm not sure because Rowan goes through these spurts where, you know, he's kind of plateaus in his development and things are going really good. But not necessarily anything new. And then he just shoots off like a rocket. That's why I say he's a rock star. And then he's doing all this stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, have you been playing me? Because you're doing all this stuff. Or his teacher will tell me he's doing things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I didn't know he could do that. You know, he gets home and all of a sudden he can't do these things. So first of all, Rowan, and this is admittedly, I can tell you this. This was kind of a challenge as far as like transparent moment. Rowan, if he was neurotypical, would have been finishing high school this year. So seeing my friends where we were pregnant together and our friends were the same age and they're graduating. And I'm like, you know, but I'm still thankful because I also have friends who had boys who are no longer here. So he still has 4 years of high school left in Georgia. They do senior 1, 2, 3, and 4 for special needs for the kids on the spectrum. And then my hope for him is that I want him to, they've been testing him to see like what kind of jobs he would do and that he get a vocation and perhaps maybe possibly if I'm ready, right? He can live like in an assisted living place with maybe other autistic children, or adults, young adults, that's right down the street from my house. But I don't want to be a helicopter mom. I literally got, your sister probably told you, I'm a crybaby, right? And his teacher was like, yeah, so we're talking about, the vocation and life after school and whatever. I started crying because the idea of him not being at home with me is like, what? No, he's going to be with me forever. But I also don't want to limit him. So I'm open to it, I guess.
So if you had one piece of advice to give to parents of a kid on the spectrum, what would that be?
That your child is your child. Like I said before, I look to other, especially the older kids, for hope as far as capabilities and just the idea that where you start is not where you're going to finish, but your child is your child, and you got to embrace their personalities, embrace their idiosyncrasies, embrace the things that they love, and, be aware of the things they don't like. And just push them, but not too far. You don't want to push them to be like anyone. Push them to be their best version of themselves.
I love it. So since this is Organize Me Radio, I have to ask, do you have any organizing products that have helped you with Rowan? Is there anything that he loves to use?
So Rowan's been dabbling in laundry. And so we have this really neat three divider laundry. It's a mechanism. I don't know. I want to call it a basket. It's three little baskets.
A sorter. So it's like a laundry sorter.
And so he's able to put all his giant clothes, because I told you 6'4", in them. And then, I have my section, and then we have like towels and stuff to go in the other. So rather than do like the darks, lights, and whites, we just separate our clothes, and then we do the communal stuff. And he likes to wheel it from the part of the house we have it in and put it in the laundry room. And then he wants to put all the clothes in the wash machine at once. So I'm trying to teach him how to sort. But that thing is a lifesaver, just being able to wheel that thing across the house. And then my other thing is I have storage baskets everywhere with little whatevers, doohickeys, things for dog toys, baskets with dog toys, baskets with hand sanitizer. There's one right there.
I see it.
Being able to put things in baskets and it look neat and be put away, but I still have access to it. So those have been the lifesavers for me, because it declutters.
I love it so much. Nicole, thank you so much for being on. I think that this will help a lot of parents. A lot of parents, I feel like, are suffering in silence and, just trying to make it through the day, just trying to, get from point A to point B and everything. And I think that this conversation will be helpful to my listeners who, have kids that might be on the spectrum or have some other type of special needs. And I feel like it also gives hope, because here Rowan is about to turn 18 years old,
It's like a stab in my heart every time you say, no, I'm joking. He will be 18 at the end of next month. And I am not ready. I'm not ready. So
kudos to you for like getting there, you made it. You made it. And of course it's still, this is something that they have for their entire lives and everything, but whew, you made it through childhood.
I'm a man now, so. And Gavin, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So in 10 years, we'll be where you are.
Yes. Yes.
So Nicole, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you everyone for joining us for this episode of Organize Me Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for an all new episode.